Apparently, Tesco has been delivering Christmas for over 100 years. As I was watching their latest Christmas advert, something about that claim seemed to me to be somewhat exaggerated. Began to think about it, but I didn't have time because, as all good advertising works, I was immediately distracted with the next scene, which was a glorious spread, roast turkey and a table full of food with no space for anything but food, perfectly arranged. At least I think it was a turkey. And then I started daydreaming about what kind of meat we might have at Christmas. I was meant to be preparing this talk. Turkey is okay, isn't it? But what about lamb or duck? Perhaps you've already begun to daydream about these things, or perhaps life is too busy to stop and think about what kind of meat you'll be eating on Christmas Day. Christmas can be a wonderful time, can't it? Great food, family, fun, Die Hard, perhaps even Love Actually. But of course, if Christmas were one of those Lindt chocolates, you know, the ones with the sort of circular ones with the wrappers, it's fair to say that our culture has become focused on the wrapping paper in recent times. And we're left, in a sense, with an empty plasticky shell, a brief party, and then back to reality. I'm sorry to bring this up, but you know very well, don't you, that it won't be long before you're back in the office in January. For some of us, I'm sorry to bring that up. I probably shouldn't mention that today. For some of us, Christmas may even not be something we're looking forward to at all. Well, in the next few minutes, I want us to take the wrapping paper off and begin to nibble on the outer shell of the chocolate core. We don't have time to bite into it today, but you're holding it in your hands, this eyewitness account of Jesus' life. If you just turn up to page 3, this is one of the 4 eyewitness accounts of his life, death and resurrection. John's Gospel. Unlike the other 3 accounts, there are no animals, mangers, babies or angels. Now, it's not that John didn't know about those things, presumably he did, but he decides to boil it down to just 5 words. So what, therefore, is at the heart of Christmas, the Christmas message? Well, at the heart of Christmas is the claim that at a point in history, God became a human being. At a point in history, God broke into this world and entered the stage. Why did he do that? Well, to make himself known, John says, as the great act of self-revelation, or as someone's put it, as the great act of divine self-disclosure, to make himself known. I just want us to see this. Look down at verse 14, those first 5 words, 4 words. The Word became flesh. Who is the Word? Well, look up at verse 1, as we just had read. In the beginning was the Word. In other words, the Word was there already. He was eternal. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Those last 3 words, the Word was God. And so therefore, when John gets to verse 14, the Word became flesh, what he is saying is that God himself became a human being. He lived among us. He dwelt among us. He ate, slept, breathed, conversed. God ate, slept, breathed, conversed, laughed, cried. They say they saw him, verse 14. You see that? We have seen his glory. They saw his miracles. He walked on water. He raised people from the dead. Acts that only the Creator himself could do. Not even his enemies could deny that he did them. And then he raised himself from the dead. At least that is what they say they saw. Verse 14, we have seen his glory. God become man. But why? Why did he become a human being? For that we need to read down to verse 18, the conclusion verse of John's introduction. Verse 18, no one has ever seen God, but the only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. Those last 5 words. In other words, the claim is that Jesus was God become man in order to make himself known, the great divine act of self-revelation. I just want to try and illustrate this claim. So if you wouldn't mind, just imagine being in the West End in a theatre. The theatre's packed, the stage is empty, the curtains are closed. And then there's a voice over the loudspeaker that says, there's someone behind the curtain, and feel free to discuss amongst yourselves who you think they are and what you think they're like. And so the discussions begin. There's a group over here, perhaps. Someone says, I think he's like an elephant. In fact, I think there's probably not just one of him. There's thousands of different manifestations of this person. You'll see, as the curtains open, that's what you'll see. And then perhaps there's another group over here, a bit more sceptical about the whole thing. Someone says, it's nonsense. There's no one behind the curtain at all. It's an elaborate hoax. You'll see, as the curtain opens, the stage will be empty. And then perhaps there's another group over here. No, there is one person. There is one person there. And we reckon, we suppose he's like this, that, or the other. But then finally, the lights dim, there's a hush, and the curtain swings open, and there is someone standing there. I wonder if you can see that at that point, all guesswork about him evaporates. They can see what he looks like. And as he takes the microphone and begins to speak and to tell them about himself, they can get to know him. I wonder if you can see that is what John is saying in verse 18. No one has ever seen God. But the only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. In other words, God became man in Jesus Christ. As he did that, so God himself walked out onto the stage of human history. At which point, all guesswork about God could finally come to an end, because there he was, right in front of us. That's the claim. Just to put it another way, we're in the city, so I've got a city illustration. I have a friend who works in Goldman Sachs called Joe. I think he would say that he's not exactly high up in the pecking order in that organisation, huge organisation. So therefore, Joe has never seen the CEO, David Solomon, who I think is based in New York, and Joe knows very little about him. But imagine if one day Joe were to get a call on his phone. Hi, David Solomon here. Listen, I'd love to go on holiday. My treat, my shout, let's make it a road trip. Italy, bring a tent. And so Joe says, okay. Now here's the thing. Not only would Joe have David Solomon's existence confirmed as he stepped off the plane and he could see him in the flesh, but more than that, over the course of their road trip, he would come to know what David Solomon is like. What's his character? Does he fly off the handle if his coffee isn't right? Does he take tea or coffee as the first drink in the morning? What makes him laugh? What does he care about? In the same way, when we look at Jesus Christ, we not only have God's existence confirmed, though we do. No one else has ever claimed to be God and backed it up credibly. Not only that, though, we can know what he's like. What is God's character? What is he like? If I asked Joe, how does David Solomon take his coffee, he'd be guessing, because he hasn't been on that holiday with him. And in the same way, without God's self-revelation, without God's self-disclosure, all we are left with is guesswork about God. That's what verse 18 means when he says, no one has ever seen God. We have no natural access to him or any knowledge of him. It is guesswork. Is God like an elephant? Don't know. Could be. Does he care about us? Doesn't seem like it. Don't know. Can he do anything about the mess that we're in this world, about all the suffering? Don't know. Does he exist? Maybe, maybe not. Can you see that it is all guesswork unless God himself breaks in and shows himself to us? That is the message of Christmas. People say, and you may feel, that there are so many versions of God, I could never know. Well, yes, there are so many versions of God, because we live in a world that is full of guesswork about God. Verse 18, no one has ever seen God. Doesn't stop the guesswork. But the claim here is that if you want to know the truth, look at the Word made flesh. Look at Jesus Christ. You want to know if God cares about you? Look at Jesus Christ. You want to know if God can do anything about this broken world, about the suffering? Look at Jesus Christ. You want to know if God exists? Look at Jesus Christ. You want to know if there's more to life than this? I heard a quote the other day, which I think captures the reality of being an adult quite well. Being an adult is basically repeating to yourself, after this week, things will get less busy, over and over until you die. You may feel that Christmas doesn't offer any respite from that cycle. Do you want to know if there's more? There is. Look at Jesus Christ. But that leaves us with a question, doesn't it? If Jesus makes God known, what is God like? Well, for the full answer, you'll need to take this away and read it. For the short answer, though, take another look at verse 14. We have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Those words, glory, grace, and truth, ultimately refer to one climactic act, and that is Jesus' death on the cross for the whole world. That is where God's glory glares brighter than the sun. That is where his grace and love for sinners is published. That is where the truth about God is most wonderfully and finally revealed, at the cross. You want to know the truth about God, what he's like? Look at the cross. Or let me put it like this. If our Creator could rip open his chest and show us his beating heart, well, he has, as he put himself on a Roman cross, not for his own sins, but for yours and for mine. He took all of our failures, all of our imperfections on himself. He paid the awful price in our place. Why? Because he loves us. We don't deserve it, but he loves us. He wants us to have grace. He wants us to have eternal life. And so as we conclude, what is Christmas about? Well, it's about God making himself known by breaking onto the stage of human history. Jesus later describes himself as the truth. He says, I am the truth. And so another way of putting it is to say that Christmas is about the truth. The truth about God, finally revealed in that baby. It's about a God who loves you, who wants to know you and to give you eternal life. And if you'll allow me to suggest that we have two options for what we do with the truth. We can run away from it, or we can run towards it. One thing we can't do is say that we don't have access to the truth about God. We can't say there is no truth, however popular that idea may be, because he's made himself known. Well, we'd love you to take one of these away with you and read it for yourself. So often I speak to people who've come to a view about Jesus based largely on second-hand information, what Stephen Fry says or whatever. Why not read it for yourself and then pester your Christian friends? Pester them, the person who brought you. They love being pestered. Pester them with questions. Why do you believe this? Surely it was made up. Surely it's been embellished. Surely it's Chinese whispers. Trust me, they love to be pestered with those kinds of questions. And actually, if I may just burst a bubble, the scholarly consensus is that this was written within the lifetime of the eyewitnesses. That is the scholarly consensus, not the Christian consensus. That's just when they've been dated to, within 60 years of Jesus' death. These events were too public and too recent to be able to fiddle with. Well, do just take it away. Investigate these things for yourself. We'd love to help you. Come back in the new year to the lunchtime talks we run here. Come to our Christianity Explored course, which I think Simon is going to mention at the end. It just remains for me to say a very, very Merry Christmas to you all, and thank you very much for coming.